welcome to A Roundabout Chattanooga. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller. My guest today has one of the most recognizable voices in the history of public radio.
It's been a quiet, lovely week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota. The weather's just been gorgeous. It was warm this last week. It was up in the 80s. There was a little bit of rain, not enough, but there's never enough. Graduation.
Garrison Keillor isn't quite finished with Lake Wobegon. He stopped giving us weekly radio updates in July of 2016 when he retired from hosting A Prairie Home Companion. But he's on tour now with a special live, non-broadcast version of Prairie Home, and it's coming our way in September. We're going to find out about favorite cast members who are coming with him and why, at 75 years old, he wants to be out on the road again. Keillor created the show in 1974. Every Saturday evening, he brought us comedy, musical performances, and news from his fictional town where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average. The radio show goes on without him. Musician Chris Thiele hosts it now, and Keillor has kept busy with writing. Keillor has a weekly syndicated column in the Washington Post and other publications. He's been working on a book of poetry and a memoir, and we're going to hear about all that. Here's my conversation with Garrison Keillor.
I still remember the very first time that I heard the show here in Chattanooga. I'm not sure exactly how long it's been broadcast here, but it would have been in the mid or maybe early 1990s. And the very first time I heard it, it just immediately hooked me because I felt like when I was listening to it, suddenly I was a part of something bigger than myself. And it's the strangest thing with radio because I believe it's that way for a lot of people. You listen to certain shows and you know other people are out there listening and you know there's a live audience there and you just feel like you're a part of it even though you're not actually interacting with any of these other people.
I probably am bigger than you.
definitely taller.
I'm 6'3".
Oh, yes.
And I'm somewhere around 215 pounds. I know the feeling, and it all has to do with the show being live. People can tell that. They can tell it. For one thing, they can tell it by the fact that mistakes, you know, are allowed to go out on the air. But they can tell that it's live, it's happening as they listen to it. And this is something that draws people in. We need more of it in radio, he said, while doing a taped conversation. but we really do. I miss the morning guy. That was always live, and it was always a sort of a cheerful middle-aged man. They used to be older than I, and they were sort of like your uncle, and they talked about the weather, and they talked about what they had for dinner the night before, and they talked about their wives, and it was very comforting.
It sounds like you, early on in your career, had a morning show, maybe a very, very early version of A Prairie Home Companion.
I did. I found it an easy way for a writer to earn a living, and I stuck with it for a while. I started out in 1969. My gosh, that's a long time ago. And I did it, I think, up through about 80, 81.
Is it true that during one show you just played Help Me, Rhonda over and over again?
I think I played it maybe four or five times, but to people who hated the Beach Boys or hated Help Me, Rhonda, it probably seemed like I had played it 100 times. But I played it over and over because it's a kind of a hypnotic song. You know, it's a repetitive, hypnotic song. There's a place for songs like that, as hip-hop singers have discovered. You know, there's something really compelling about repetition. You know, Help Me, Rhonda, help Me, Rhonda, Help Me, Rhonda, Help Me, Rhonda, yeah, get her out of my heart. appealing to some and horrifying to others.
And so you're coming to Chattanooga with the live show. You've retired from actually hosting the show on the radio, but you've been keeping busy with writing, screenplays, a memoir. Why do you want to tour as well? What is it about touring and being on stage that is worth going out on the road and putting up with all the exhaustion of it?
I've been writing now for about a year, since the last Prairie Home show at the Hollywood Bowl. And it's what I've wanted to do since I was a child, sitting at a desk in dim light and with a laptop and working, as you say, on a screenplay and a memoir and a weekly column and so forth. But you sit alone and you write and rewrite and rewrite, and you start to miss standing on a stage in front of a crowd. And I miss particularly singing duets with a tall woman. And so I'm going to come to Chattanooga with Heather Massey, and we're going to sing love duets.
If I told you the truth, if I let my heart sing, would I then win your love or lose everything to watch?
And I'm going to do the news from Lake Wobegon, and Fred Newman, our sound effects man, will be there. So we'll do the lives of the cowboys, Dusty and Lefty, and do some kind of surrealistic improv, you know, about strange biological life in your basement and toilets that talk and mutant dolphins and submarines. He does all these sounds, so you can suddenly you know, turn sharp corners with Fred, and he is not perplexed.
Winter. I come from Minnesota, a big winter state. That's exactly right. Big blizzard coming in. Predators roaming. People sometimes set sail on their sleds. So northwesterly wind will blow them off to the southeast into Wisconsin. They'll be safe. But many of them don't make it. No, they're off there.
And there's a band. I should not forget the band.
Yes.
Rich Dvorsky at the piano. And so we'll do a bunch of things. And we will also walk into the audience, and the audience and I will sing My Country 'Tis of Thee and Battle Hymn of the Republic and Shenandoah and Swing Low, Sweet Chariot and a bunch of other songs that we all know.
I believe, I'm not sure how long ago it was, but I saw you once when you were here live, and you led the audience in singing, of course, the Chattanooga Choo Choo.
Well, I know a little bit of the Chattanooga Choo Choo, but not as much as I should. I should book up on that before I come. Is that still popular in Chattanooga?
It recently, I believe it turned 75, the 75th anniversary of it becoming the world's first gold record.
Mm. Wow, that is impressive. I'm 75 myself.
Yes.
So I admire that. I once tried to write a limerick on Chattanooga, and it's not the easiest name to rhyme. I tried to work in arugula and the ooga ooga of the Model T Ford horn, and it was not a great limerick. I should try this again.
And have you published or planning to publish a book of limericks?
I am. Actually, Grove Press is going to publish it in the spring. It's called A Luxury of Limericks, and it's me writing about limericks and also showing off my collection of originals, some of which are not safe for work, and others, most of them are.
You're writing this column now, The Washington Post, and it's syndicated, and you've said one of the reasons why you think the column is so well-received is because you have a terrific editor. with the radio show, who was your editor on that, doing that every week?
It was me, and it was I, and we did a run through of the script on Friday, and you sit down and you write a script and you think it's funny, and then you hear actors doing it, and you actually hear it, and you have all sorts of ideas for revising it, and sometimes it just makes you throw it away. That's the key to writing for radio, is simply hearing your own words recited back by actors, by good actors. And so I revised it completely, and then there was a sound check on Saturday, usually about 1 o'clock, and I heard it again, and then I would make some more changes. And then we went on the air at 5 Central Time, and it just, you know, you just went over the dam, that's all.
And you would get...
You went over the dam in your inner tube, and you gradually recovered in the course of Sunday and Monday, and then you started work on the next show.
Well, and with doing it live, you get the audience feedback. It's got to be very different than when you're, as you were saying, writing alone in a dark room, and the only feedback is yourself.
The feedback in Minnesota, however, was feedback from a rather quiet audience. It's a Midwestern trait. People don't like to laugh unless they hear other people laughing. And this has a deadening effect. And that's why we went on the road, and we went out to places like New York and Los Angeles and Chicago and Milwaukee and Chattanooga, you know, where people are happy to laugh and be the only ones laughing. They don't mind. That was something I discovered about midway through doing the show. The hometown audience is the toughest audience you will ever find in your life.
Do you think it's just a Midwestern Minnesota trait, or is it more the material you were doing was kind of, it wasn't as surprising to them because they lived that life as it would be to an audience in the South, the quirks of Lutherans and things like that?
Well, that's a good point, but I still think it's a Midwestern trait. Other performers have talked about this, including musicians. They come to Minnesota, they do a show, they have a feeling while they're performing that this is dying, a slow death, and then at the end they get a standing ovation. It happens to other people too.
It seems like your live show, when you're not worrying about being broadcast and don't have to worry about FCC regulations, can be a bit more uninhibited than the radio show was.
I grew up with restrictions that were much more stringent than the FCC's, and so I don't really need the FCC to tell me what not to say. I have been not saying it, you know, since I was a child. But there is a freedom of improvisation. You're right, and I hope the audience enjoys it. But whether they do or not, I really enjoy it. We didn't do that much of it on the radio show because, you know, there are other people involved and you don't want to throw them off their stride.
That's Garrison Keillor. He's bringing his Prairie Home Love and Comedy Tour to Chattanooga's Tivoli Theater on September 9th with Richard Dworsky and the Roadhounds, Heather Massey, and Fred Newman. We'll have more coming up in just a moment.
Has your family tried them powder milk? Has your family tried them powder milk? Well, if your family's tried them all, you know you satisfied them. They're the real hot item powder milk.
This is WUTC, Essential News, eclectic music, every day. WUTC offers professional recording facilities for corporate needs, commercials, personal projects, and podcasts. Let WUTC work for you with consultation, script writing, and project creation. 425-4364.
You're listening to A Roundabout Chattanooga. I'm Michael Edward Miller. I'm speaking with Garrison Keillor. He retired from his radio show, A Prairie Home Companion, in 2016, and musician Chris Thiele now hosts it. Keillor has been busy in retirement. He's currently on tour with a special non-broadcast live version of Prairie Home, and it's coming here to Chattanooga on September 9th. Keillor has been writing a weekly column for The Washington Post, working on a screenplay and a memoir. Here's more of our conversation.
With the memoir that you're writing, do you think there are going to be a lot of surprises in it for people? Your life has been covered by the press, I think, particularly when you announced you were retiring from Prairie Home, the radio show. There were a lot of biographical articles about you. What surprises do you have for people?
Well, I think the memoir is mostly about good turns and good luck that you recognize when you look back at the age of 75 and you see all of these points in your life. Some of them may seem minor, but your life took a direction and it could easily have gone in the other way. I also feel that I've had this privilege of living a life on a series of sinking ships. I spent a lot of time on my Uncle Jim's farm when he was farming with horses and in a house that had no electricity or running water. And the life of that farm is a life that's gone. It's disappeared for the most part, except maybe among certain Amish. I grew up in a fundamentalist sect called the Plymouth Brethren, mostly all gone. They were separatists, and they believed in the literal truth of Scripture. So I want to write about these things that I've had the privilege of seeing. I was in radio when we played large vinyl records, and when we simply talked to people before there was a morning edition and an All Things Considered. I did a radio show from a canoe going down the Mississippi River. I had these wonderful naive adventures in radio. I got to write for the New Yorker magazine back in the old era when William Shawn was the editor. I got to work in the office there. I got to see things that don't exist anymore. And I think that's what a memoir should offer the reader, rather than trying to, pay back old debts or, whatever.
In an interview with Minnesota Public Radio, you said you were done with fiction. Why is that?
I don't know. I'm done writing fiction, I know. And I'm just much more interested in the essay right now. But I seem also to be done with reading fiction. I own a bookstore in St. Paul, and I walk in and I look around at the fiction table, and I pick up books here and there, and I read the first few paragraphs, and then I set them down. I just don't feel drawn to them anymore. They don't offer to tell me anything that I really want to know.
Huh. The characters in Lake Wobegon, those are people who I assume have been living in your head for decades, and you've kind of put them to bed, so to speak.
I don't think I'll write another book about Lake Wobegon. I just don't feel the need to. I'm happy to get up and talk about them, and I can do that for an hour without strain. But to sit down and write a book, I I don't want to waste people's time. And, you know, time is precious. When you're 75, you know that. And for a person paying money to buy a book, you know, there's a big time commitment there. Whereas you come to a show like this, there are other things that go along with it, and it's all kind of lighthearted, and if the audience, you know, doesn't care for the news from Lake Wobegon, they will let me know, and I will cut to the chase.
What do you listen to today on the radio or maybe even podcasts?
I listen when I'm in the car. Only when I'm in the car, and I don't drive as much as I used to. I'm mostly staying at home and writing. I did a tour of Minnesota and went around and did some shows and did a lot of driving. And I was sort of horrified at what I heard on the radio. So no, I just didn't engage me. I like public radio, but commercial radio just seems to have vanished, and it's gone entirely into various kinds of jukeboxes, and it's not amiable the way it used to be.
Well, and with public radio, with again Prairie Home Companion, when I was first listening to it, and shows like This American Life, particularly, it's that sense mm-hmm. of community, and that's really what our fundraising pitches boil down to, is because you listen, you're a part of this community, so please support it.
This is true. This is true. I'm interested, though, in other communities, and I don't think they're represented on the radio as I wish they were. I'm interested in people who voted for Donald Trump, and I don't hear this on the radio. I mean, I can hear Rush Limbaugh, but I don't think that he speaks for those people. He speaks for a certain point of view that they may share some of, but about half the people who voted in Minnesota voted for Trump, and I'm curious to know more about their lives, and I don't hear it on the radio. They're not represented.
I think NPR has definitely made some efforts towards that. They've done some series on Morning Edition, All Things Considered, and even a call-in show where they deliberately get hosts from different political backgrounds. So, yeah, I agree. I think we definitely need to be more diverse politically and in other ways to survive and to be relevant as public radio.
Right. I mean, I say that as a liberal elitist myself, you know, but I'm interested in hearing other people than the people I hang out with. And, you know, radio is supposed to broaden your experience. And I feel that it narrows our experience. I go to my high school class reunion, and that's entirely different. That is the broadest group of people I ever find myself among, and it includes, I'm sure, a lot of people who voted for Trump, and small town people, and people who are still farming. You know, truck drivers and cab drivers and all sorts of different people. And I love that. I really do. I love to hear about other people's lives and to get some clue, you know, about what means the most to them and what they genuinely enjoy and what they genuinely feel strongly about.
Being on the road, do you get a chance to do that, just interact with people you wouldn't normally meet because you're in all these different towns around America?
No, I don't. I hang out with the people in the troupe and our technical people, and then I sit in a room and I write, and then I go out on stage, and I meet some people after the show, you know, if they want to come around, you know, they come around and they say, I've been listening to you since I was a child, and here stands a middle-aged person. That's pretty amazing. And they recall a story that I told about an elephant, you know, 20 years ago. And that's impressive, you know, when somebody remembers something that you talked about on the radio 20 years ago, and they remember this story about a guy who drove his Volkswagen with small children in the back seat and groceries up to an elephant from the circus who was staked out in a pasture, and the elephant stuck his trunk into the back seat and ate their groceries, and little children were screaming because this powerful, slimy thing was feeling around their legs. This made a big impression on some people back, you know, back in the day. This story about the cluelessness of a parent. And
do you have a sense when you're telling these stories of which ones are going to really stick with people throughout the years?
No, I have no idea. I have no idea of how the story is going over, even as one tells it. No, it comes as a complete surprise to me, and
got to keep it interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting. Sometimes a kid walks up to me in an airport somewhere and recites something that I did on the radio, some limerick or some song that they remember, and it really is impressive.
You'll be here Saturday, September 9th, the Love and Comedy Tour. What does the love part of the title mean?
Duets. Love duets.
All right.
You know, oh, my love, my dear, sweet one, you know, I hunger for your touch. You know, they're somewhere, you know, under the stars, heaven waits for me down in the valleys so low, down where the hollows roll. Under the moon, there is a place where all our dreams come true, and I will rendezvous there with you, there in my dreams. That sort of thing, sung in duet, and Van Morrison love songs, and my love song to my daughter, and a song to my wife. Don't put whipped cream in my coffee. Don't need a lemon wedge for my beer. Don't put pepper on my salad. I just wish that she were here.
Does she ever go out on the road with you?
No. No. She has a garden to take care of, and she no, she don't really care for the road that much.
Do you like being on the road, the actual physical process of traveling and being in different hotels and things like that?
I love it because it's a routine. It's a routine. One day follows another. And you do a show, and that's gratifying, and then you wait for the crew to strike, and then you get on the bus and you drive to the next town, and you arrive sort of mid-morning, and you check into a hotel, and you sit and you write, and then you go do another show, and then you do the whole thing over again. I love that that part of it. I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it.
Thank you so much for speaking with us. We're looking forward to seeing you here in Chattanooga Saturday, September 9th. Is this an all-ages kind of show, or are there specific age range? Okay.
Yeah. No, there's nothing that you need to worry about.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
That was Garrison Keillor. He's bringing a Prairie Home Love and Comedy Tour to Chattanooga at the Tivoli Theater on September 9th with Richard Dworsky in the Roadhounds, Heather Massey, and Fred Newman. It's a special non-broadcast live version of Prairie Home. I'm Michael Edward Miller, and that's it for our show.